Welcome to Unabridged, the weekly podcast where teachers take on books. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah, and I'm here today with Jen and Ashley.
This is Ashley. We'll chat about our Unabridged Book Club's pick of the month, recommend related books, and share our nerdy English teacher love of reading with our Unabridged highlights and with short episodes featuring targeted topics.
To follow along with our schedule, visit our website, unabridgedpod.com, where the books we read are linked for purchase. You want opinions about books? We've got them.
Hey everyone, we are here today with one of our Unabridged shorts. We are talking today about confessing our literary sins, and this is coming from, has been inspired, by Anne Bogle's book, I'd Rather Be Reading, Chapter 1, wherein she discusses her own literary sins and how we as readers actually have literary sins. So we thought it would be fun to do a short episode and let us talk more in depth about our literary sins and confessing to each other what those are. So what do you think?
So mine is both a literary sin and just a general life problem. I buy more books than I really totally want to admit right now. And I am ridiculously compelled to own books. And I get like five Kindle newsletters in my email inbox every day. And even though I do not need any of those books, and I have very many hundreds of books on my Kindle that I have not read, I continue to buy those great deals because they're great deals, even when the books are at my local library. So I buy a lot of books, and I've gotten better. I will say I made myself a budget and a goal amount each month, which I will not reveal here. I'm not ready to confess that much. And I've done better staying within that amount. And then I look at the total amount for the year, and I'm kind of disgusted with myself. And yet I will continue to do it. So that is one of my biggies. That is one of my goals. Yeah. And I drive my minimalist friends crazy because I know.
Not true. I mean, it's not my shelf. So I don't mind. Now, my husband has some similar tendencies, yes. And that is more in the arena of things that drive me crazy.
And I should say,
he doesn't buy all the books, but I mean, right. They just pile up. Yeah. I mean, things just pile up.
And
so,
I try to get rid of them.
And I do my own.
Yeah, I try to get rid of them. And I do feel a little guilty. I will continue
just
to
not
do
enough.
It. Not enough.
So that, guilty yeah.
That's
enough.
A not
sin.
Not quite guilty enough.
Exactly. That is a sin in and of itself, to know that I should be better and to not really want to be that much better. A little bit better. So, okay. So who's next?
I had told him before he started, I was like, I'm just going to listen to what people say and then try to kind of warm up here. I feel like I said before we started recording this that I think that some of my literary sins are like so egregious that I don't even realize that I'm on the plane of literary sins. Because as we have discussed in other episodes, I am not, in a lot of ways, I'm not quite the traditional reader. So consequently, I guess one major literary sin is I have read very few of the classics, and most of the ones that I have read I hated. So, you know, and that's gotten better. I mean, as an adult, when I read things, I like them more than I did as a kid. I also read the real book instead of the Spark Notes, which is another literary sin while we're confessing them. I knew once I got warmed up, I would think of lots of things. So I think that's a factor. But I still... I'm like you, Jen. I'm like, how much do I want to confess here? Like, I read Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen relatively recently, and it was fine.
Gasp.
I feel a little guilty saying it out loud, but I mean, it was fine. I mean, I just was like, oh, okay, well, this is fine. I didn't pay for it on my Kindle.
I will also say that is not the genre of classic that I would have recommended for you anyway, right?
Yes, I think, right. Like, because she's clever. Yeah, so, like, there are things in there that are clever, but it is very much a romance. Yeah, and like the in some of the sort of conventional parts, I could keep going. I'll just leave it at that. That's another literary sin is that even when I try them, I don't necessarily love them, and sometimes it is hard to admit to other bookish people. But that's okay.
Well, friend, I'm right there with you, and I actually don't even feel guilty about confessing it. I just think they're kind of boring. I don't like The Great Gatsby. Sorry, Jen.
I'm mean, just gasping all over the place. I'm going to be like out of breath by the end of the episode.
And I just recently, I think I just talked about this on the podcast. We reread it for a book club that I'm in with my mom and my aunt, and I didn't like it that time either. So, and that was just like a couple months ago. And I just, they're just kind of stuffy. I tried to read Emma, and I love romance. Mm-hmm. Thought that was boring. I just don't like them. I just don't. I have tried to read Jane Eyre. I thought that was boring. I just think I don't like the language. I'm just more of a contemporary reader. Mm-hmm. And I, like, for a long time, I was like, I need to like these. I'm a reader. Mm-hmm. I need to appreciate these. And then I was like, you know what? No, I don't. I don't have to if I don't want to, because there's a book for everyone, and these are not my books.
That's right.
And I understand that other people like them, but mm-hmm. it's just not my cup of tea. Yeah.
And there are more books than you could ever read that you will like. So, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I have that one as well. Do I need to do a unique one now, or should we keep moving?
Okay. I can do another one.
Okay, you go ahead.
I can do another one. Okay. So,
I just didn't want you to feel alone, Ashley.
Thank you. I feel supported.
I feel like I need to confess that I do like a lot of classics. So that's its whole own thing. And I don't like all of them. And I always have to steel myself, because it feels like this mountain that I'm going to get ready to climb. But I end up liking a lot of
them. But see, that is the thing that makes me just be like, no, thank you. Yeah. I don't want to climb the mountain.
Right.
I want to start and, like, be in it, you know?
Yeah.
And
right.
I don't like that.
Yeah. And, well, and I felt like, I thought that, like, with Pride and Prejudice, and then it didn't take very long, and it wasn't a mountain, but it still, I mean, it was fine.
It's like
getting
over.
It was just fine. And I was like, oh, well, I, like we talked about, I mean, there's this way, there's so many books that I'm dying to read
mm-hmm.
that I would have enjoyed more, and I just didn't feel like it was this. It wasn't like a revelation. I think that sometimes when you hear all these things about books, then you think, oh,
yeah,
it's going to be revelatory to read it. And then when it isn't, it's like, oh, okay, well, I could have read, you know, a fantasy book instead.
Right.
And that would have been really fun. So, oh, well.
And not so boring.
I'm sorry. All right, I'm moving on right now. I'm moving on right now. All right, I'm just going to say it. So I have come to be convinced that people should abandon books that they are not enjoying. And I tell students this, and I firmly believe it, but I have a really hard time with that. And I am a completionist, and I still, like, there have been, like, I don't know, fewer than 5 books that I have not finished, and I still have guilt and feel like I should go back and get them and read them. But I don't want to. And so it's this weird struggle, and I don't know what it is in me. Yeah, that I do self-select a lot, but I do sometimes just read books that I don't really like, even though I would recommend to everyone around me that that's stupid. And of course you should abandon books if you don't like them, because, again, there's so many books out there that I will probably love, because I love a lot of books. So,
and I do have that problem also. Yeah. I don't have the guilt thing, so if I do abandon, I'm fine with that. But it's because I'm really goal-driven, so once mm-hmm. I've started the book, then I want to be able to count that book, essentially, even though no one's looking but me, and I only care myself. But it's like, once I've invested 100 pages, I'm like, well, it's only 250 more mm-hmm. or whatever, and I should just keep going. And I know similarly. It's silly, but I can't.
I mean, I recently abandoned a book, and I was like 150 pages in. And it was by an author who I had previously really liked, and I just couldn't do it.
And I think that's the right thing to do, but it is hard. It's hard. For me, it's hard to do it because, again, I'm like, I just want to be able to say that I read the book.
Yeah.
Like, for my own tally, I want to be able to be like, oh, I finished this book, and you can't count the
right. And I feel like it's not legitimate for me to have a negative opinion unless I finished it.
Yeah.
So, like, I will never talk about this book in public and name it. Because I feel like that's not fair, because what if in 2 more pages it had just been a revelation?
Yeah, I think that's the thing for me. Like, if I'm just reading for enjoyment and mm-hmm. I don't like it, I don't mind abandoning it. I don't feel guilt. But if it were, like, for the podcast mm-hmm. or if we are talking about a book, or if I'm going to talk about it in any type of,
like, have a review
public,
on it
yeah,
or anything like that,
I will finish it even if I don't like it. But I don't have any guilt about it. If maybe I'm a slacker here, because I'm like, I hate the classics. I have no guilt about this.
I think you're a slacker. So.
But
nobody thinks you're slacker.
I don't hate the classics. They're just not for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't mind abandoning books, because there are just so many. And if I don't really like it, and I can usually tell in the first, you know, 5 chapters or so.
Mm-hmm.
I guess depending on how long they are.
Yeah, I would say that if I'm going to abandon, I almost always do it immediately.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I feel like I know very quickly if I'm not going to enjoy it. But my problem is if I don't abandon it, but I'm not enjoying it, then my reading pace just slows way down because I don't care about it. And then, and right now I'm back in the, like, I read a million books at one time. So then I just neglect it. There's one book that I won't name that I've been reading for like 6 months now. It's fine. Because I will neither abandon it, nor can I quite finish it. It's fine. So, you know, I think that happens also where I don't really want to give it up. But, yeah, it's the non-committal. I'm neither going to give it up nor finish. It's all right.
Another one of mine is I hope nobody from my library is listening. I read all the books while I'm in the bathtub. I read my Kindle. I read my own books. And I read my library books. So Yikes.
And then we check out books from the library and bring them to our houses.
Yay!
Have you ever dropped a book?
I have not. And I'm clean in the bathtub. Because normally, if I get in the bathtub, I'm also taking a shower first. So. Oh. So, because you don't want to, that's a whole nother conversation.
I know, I was like, this is going to digress into, like, why don't Americans do that? Anyway, we're not going to have that discussion today. But yes, there's a whole bathing etiquette that is strange and different in different cultures, and I do think it's strange that people don't shower before they bathe. For all those reasons.
Yes.
Anyway,
but now you know, number one, I do that. Number two, if you get a book, that it's still nice and clean if you get my book that I have from the library. Honestly, I don't check out that many books from the library because I prefer to own them because I like to market them and stuff. And also because I read in the bathtub.
Right.
But I mean, that is what I like to do. Nice glass of wine, bubble bath. Read my book. I can't think of anything better. So
that does sound pretty glorious. You're winning me over to the dark side here.
Oh my gosh.
I don't like baths.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that does not sound appealing to me.
I really like that. And I do know people on Instagram do because they take, I don't take pictures of my bathtub, but I see other people that do. So, and I think it looks appealing when they do it, but I just am not going to do that. I feel like I've confessed too much.
I think we can just stop right now, and we have enough confession.
These are times when you need to give me the cut it, Sarah. Cut it.
Okay, so another thing that I do not, another thing that I do not feel is a sin, but I know other people are taken aback by, is that I write in my books. I fold the pages down, and I have realized recently that I am at least aware of doing those things. So for a long time, I did it and did not feel any concern at all. And then, like, I am, the book that I'm currently reading, for the first 60 or so pages, I didn't have a way to mark, I didn't have, like, the little, you know, sticky notes or whatever to be marking it, but I didn't want to write in it necessarily, which was partially because somewhere in the back of my mind, I was like, maybe I could give this book away, but then I can't write in it if I'm going to give it away. But anyway, once I finally committed to writing in it, things moved a lot more smoothly. And I was like, oh, okay, I have my pencil. It's fine. If I have to erase everything, I will. It's okay. I think that's something that I always wrote in books. But then I've had a lot of students that are really appalled by the idea of writing in a book. Mm-hmm. And I know that that is a common feeling that people mm-hmm. really feel that you should not write in them. I'm just now coming to a point where I'm like, oh, maybe I don't want to write all over my book. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, I, for a long time, that was just the way that I operated. So,
I mean, I don't think that's a literary sin.
Yeah,
I do think,
don't feel
like,
guilty about it.
I think it's a great practice, actually. But yeah, if it's, you shouldn't do that in library books. Mm-mm. And obviously, if you're going to give it to somebody else, although I find it interesting when I accidentally get a book that someone's written in.
I like it,
because it's that glimpse into what they were thinking and what lines they paid attention to. And
yeah.
I think it's interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think that's literary sin either, though I'm sure that it really drives some people up the wall. So, okay. So my last one, I think, is compulsive listing of books. And again, this is one I'm kind of torn about because I like to list things. I like spreadsheets, which I've mentioned many times before.
She likes them a lot.
I do. I like them a lot. So I have a spreadsheet. I've talked about this before too, but I have a spreadsheet where I keep track of all the books that I've read for the year. And I keep track of the genre. Sarah's getting stressed.
I know. I'm already getting stressed over here.
I have genres and I mark like how many pages they were and how many days it took me to read them. And I like all of that, but I do sometimes feel like Ashley, you were saying you're very goal oriented. Mm-hmm. Like there is some satisfaction in putting the next entry in the spreadsheet. And so I feel like I don't think that takes away from my enjoyment of books because I love books a lot. But I have heard some people say that that is kind of a bad thing because if I love books just for themselves, I shouldn't have to keep a list of the books that I've read. And so in some ways it feels like it's not organic in the way reading should be. But I like it. So it probably is literary sin. Again, I am pretty much unrepentant and will continue to do so. And I might even add more categories to my spreadsheet next year. We'll see. I might walk on the wild side and add even more columns. There may be color coding.
Oh my gosh, that has to be a t-shirt. There's so many of those nice phrases, walking on the wild side. Add another category to my spreadsheet. I have one more. And this one actually has changed a little bit since I started taking photos for Instagram because I can't do this. But I break the spines of my book because I like them to be able to lay flat, like when I'm reading them. But now that I take photos of my books for Instagram, it doesn't work as well because then sometimes it doesn't look nice in a photo. So I...
You don't say.
No.
So I am a little taken aback that you do that. I didn't realize you did it on purpose. Like, well, you purposefully break them.
Well, no. Like, I don't get my book and be like, now I'm going to break the spine. But when I'm reading, I don't mind if it happens my enjoyment of the book. But no, I don't do it. Like, I'm not like this heartless spine breaker.
You get home from the bookstore and you're like, crack, 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 crack.
Or I go in the bookstore and just break the spines. No, I don't do that. Random spine breaker.
You're like the spine breaking bandit or something.
But oh, I do, but like, it's just one of those things. Like, a lot of people I know are just like, that is a huge thing. Oh. And for me, like, if I'm reading a book and that happens and the book stays open so that I can read it, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. But I would say it's only annoying when the pages fall out. Yes. I have had it where they break and then the pages also fall out, and then that is inconvenient. Yeah, I don't like that. But otherwise, I agree with your philosophy there. And that's, I've moved more and more toward, I used to prefer paperbacks, but I've moved more and more toward preferring either a hardback or just reading it on a Kindle. Because I feel like the paperback is sometimes hard to manage for those reasons.
And I mean, the paperbacks are definitely harder to manage for taking photos. I mean, and we take photos, I take photos for the podcast, and like even if I'm really careful, and I try to be really careful now that I am doing that. Mm-hmm. And like, that has also taken out some of the reading in the bathtub because of the moisture in the air, and I mean at the pool or wherever. Yeah. I just read books near water. It's really I'm like,
it's a life philosophy.
This is not going the right way for me, but I mean, I just noticed that the covers curl. I used to prefer paperbacks too, but now I also like the dust jackets on hardcovers because I can use them as a bookmark.
I do that. I feel like that's a bit of a literary sin. It's and I do it too, but it like totally warps them. Yeah. I was doing that with the one I'm reading right now, and it was like making them bigger. It was warping the dust jacket, and I was like, I bet this is something that bothers people. But I
yank them off right away. I can't stand having the dust jacket on I'm reading. That's the first thing to do. On my shelf. Until I'm done. It bothers me because it slips and slides. And
we take them off for the kids. They don't like having them on there. So the children's books, we remove them.
I also,
and I have a stack in the closet where they go because, you know, that's the kind of thing that would drive me crazy.
Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, I also take all the, like, inserts out of magazines immediately before I read a page of it.
Interesting.
I just don't like the extra stuff. I just want the book or the magazine. And
so, you don't want things falling out.
Right, or off, or slipping around.
I think that's a good place to stop.
Well, that is going to conclude this talk. I think you found out a lot of stuff, maybe more than you wanted to know about us. But we would love to know your literary sins, and we would love if you would, you know, just tell us on Facebook or in the Instagram, in our Instagram post that we do for the episode. But we would love to know your literary sins. Thank you.
Do you have comments or opinions about what you heard today? We would love to hear them. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, on Instagram and Twitter at UnabridgedPod, or on the web at unabridgedpod.com, or on our Patreon page.
We'd like to thank Jared Featherstone, who composed our theme music, Strings of Light. Many thanks to Katie Amy of Amy Photography, our podcast photographer, and Tim Rieger, our videographer. Thanks for listening to Unabridged.